Good morning, everybody. All right, you guys know what's going to happen, don't you? Stand up. Those of you that can stand up. And if you don't want to, you can always sit down. But we're going to shake out the body a little bit. So just shake it out, yeah. And really just kind of get it loose. And then stand in your standing pose. And we're just going to take that minute to really connect to the earth. And you can close your eyes if you'd like here, but just feel that connection to the earth. And then squeeze your feet muscles and your calf muscles and your thigh muscles and your butt muscles and your abdomen muscles and your chest muscles and your arms and your lower arms and even your neck. And then release that. Really nice. All right. And then we're going to walk in place. If you can. I know you've got a pew in front of you. And is Shay here? What's the affirmation, Shay? I am awake and ready. I am awake and ready. Nice. And ready. I am awake and ready. Awesome. Now shake out your hands a little bit, and then we're going to just open and close the fingers, and we're going to reach out in front, and we're going to reach up above, and we're going to toss all that out. Very nice. Now bring your hands to your heart center. First, knock on your head. And this literally wakes up your little brain cells for meditation. We're doing a little bit of scientific meditation today. And then bring your hands to your heart center and make your little bowl. And then place it right on top of your head. And then close your eyes. And imagine divine universal light energy coming into your body. Even if that sounds very silly to you, just imagine abundant life flowing into you. And then bring your hands back to your heart center. Exhale all the breath. Take a big inhale. And let's have an om. Om. Very nice. And then bring that with you to your seat. And we'll settle in now for a little bit of meditation. So just find yourself comfortable, feet firmly planted on the floor. Knees are above ankles. And just open up so the shoulders are kind of back and down, chin slightly tucked. Just a nice erect spine. Passively active. And bring your eyes to a close if you like to meditate with your eyes closed, but softly. Like little butterfly wings touching together. Take a nice big inhale and let it go. And then breathing naturally. And just attend your breath for a moment without trying to change it. Just watch it move in your body. Feel the gift of life in you. This beautiful life force that flows through you, through your breath, through your body. And then bring your awareness all the way down to your tailbone. And even engage that little area with your muscles down there and just kind of hold it. And this is your connection to the earth, what we call the root chakra. And keep it engaged for a few moments. Let the music help you. And then gently release that. Coming up a couple inches up the spine now, right into like the middle of your pelvis. And again, just gently engaging the little muscles in that area. And keep those engaged as you continue to breathe. And then gently release that. Coming up now to your navel, and right behind it near your spine, engage that area. And this is the third chakra. And then gently release. Coming up now a little higher into the heart center. but behind the heart, near the spine, and just gently engage that area. And as you keep it engaged, you notice the energy rising in you. And relax that area. Coming up now to the throat. Right in the center of your throat, engaging near the spine, like a little epicenter, sending out some kind of a beacon. And then gently release. Bringing the awareness up now to the top of the spine, at the base of the brain. Maybe just tilting your head ever so slightly back. And then relaxing that area to rest the gaze gently between the eyes. Without crossing your eyes, just gazing upward. And this is your Christ consciousness. And so from here, we begin to travel outward. And we can go into the various churches around us here and see the people doing just what we're doing, connecting. And then even going out further to encircle the entire earth in your awareness, all the trees, all of the oceans, all of the creatures. Alive in you. And you can expand this awareness as far as you wish into the cosmos, into the universe, or into your awareness. What you do with that is beautiful and timeless. Thank you. Just unbelievable. Can anybody else play the piano like that? Welcome you guys to Everett Unity today. It's a real honor to be here today. So let's begin with Charles Fillmore's invocation. So if you'd like to pray with me, you can put your hands to your heart center or any other way you like to pray. And I will do this invocation from the I Am. I am now in the presence of pure being and immersed in the Holy Spirit of life, love, and wisdom. I acknowledge your presence and your power, O Blessed Spirit. In divine wisdom now, erase my mortal limitations. And from your pure substance of love, bring into manifestation my world according to your perfect law. And then with me, in the pure substance of love, I live, move, and have my being. And so it is. Thank you. Thank you for that. What a thing to be here today. As you guys might know, we say this a lot when we're up here speaking. The energy that you feel from this podium, from this platform, is intense. It's a beautiful thing, and it is truly an honor and a privilege to be here. So I thank you for that opportunity today. It's funny, the stuff I want to talk about today, we always say there's no words to describe it. So let me take 20 minutes or so and do that. So with that said, I want to bring three things to this conversation. And even though I'm doing most of the talking, if not all of it, I still consider this a conversation, like an ongoing conversation. So what I want to bring is, one is an open mind. And the second is to attend what arises. Because sometimes when we talk about the stuff that we'll be talking about today, something comes up for us. And we can go into certain attitudes pretty quickly. So whatever it is, we'll just love whatever arises. And the last thing is, it might be the most important thing, rule number 62, which is don't take yourself too seriously. And that's for me, because I can get really serious about this. And I am serious about it, but also we got to have fun, right? Okay. So what I'm going to talk about today, you know, is this secrets of the immortal. What the heck does that mean? Does anybody feel like they're eternal? Yes. So it really comes down to, for me, and again, this is the stuff that I'm committed to in my life. This is the stuff that I share with you that I'm deeply committed to in my life. And what was a happy surprise for me is when I started to go to school to become a Unity minister, and I got very into the teachings, obviously, of Unity, the fundamental teachings from which we come, and I found out that they were confirming what I had already sort of found in my own consciousness, in my own commitment to my life, in the practice of yoga, in the 12-step programs, in all these various spiritual things that I was doing in my life. It was all contained in the teachings of Charles and Myrtle Fillmore. And it's really the basis of what we do as Unity today. So for me, it comes down to this basis of identity. How do I fundamentally identify myself as a human and spiritual being? And you might ask yourself that same question, right? Who am I? What am I for? Have you ever felt that way? Yeah, probably just this morning if you're like me. The Fillmore's entire basis for healing is that law of mind action, that we are co-creators with God, creating reality through thoughts held in mind. And even though that is true, and many of us know that's true, it can be misconstrued. And it's kind of like rearranging the furniture on the Titanic. You know, we're going to change that over there, but the ship's still going down. And so what do I mean by that? Well, if the basic way that I feel and believe about myself is ugly and gross, then everything else on top of that is ugly and gross. It's tainted. So we can practice acceptance, but from where? I can accept the way things are, and I can pretend to be okay, but if I'm dying inside, I'm going down. And so there has to be some way to reconcile myself with myself. You know how Mother Teresa told us that? She said, in the end, It's between you and God. It never was between you and anyone else. So as we go deeper into this journey of self-discovery and all that truly gives life and the experience of life, we find that truth is indeed truth. And we can say that what is true for one is not true for another, but divine law, divine mind, is absolute and precise. It is without flaw. It does not change. And when our thoughts are in alignment with this one mind, our very basis is its character. But when we attempt to draw our life experience from stores formulated by this smaller mind that says, I'm separate, I'm not good enough, I'll never make it, it's changing and vacillating by its own nature. And here we can believe in sickness and lack. Funny how when describing the smaller mind, it's usually with these two descriptors, sickness and lack. And when speaking of God or divine mind or presence, pure love, it is always wholeness and prosperity. And perhaps the whole foundation of what we do as unity is based on wholeness and prosperity. Almost all the calls that come into silent unity are calls for either health or for prosperity. Almost all the calls that come in for prayer. So we can talk about aligning with divine mind out there, but perhaps it's more about identification as divine mind. Like today when I prepared this talk, I've been working on this for really a lifetime, but for the last few weeks, organizing it into thoughts for you today and for me. And then the song gets sung, our first song. You are pure love. I am pure love. That's it. We could go home. That's all I'm here to share with you today, to remind together so that I can remember who I am, where I come from. And then the daily word. I heard that daily word. I have not read it. And it's everything that I'm going to say today. So when we identify ourselves as the expression of the infinite, that thing that can never change, never be tainted, never be corrupted, that's where we come from, we begin to realize sort of what we did in our meditation. We rise the consciousness through layers, and it gets finer and subtler until we connect through the Christ consciousness with the energy that gives all of life. So this can also be called our basis of thought, from where I fundamentally come from, because everything that I think comes from one parent thought, one originating thought. Charles Fillmore said in his book, Christian Healing, that the object of our existence is to demonstrate the truth of being. So what is the truth of being? Well, stories of erroneous thinking drive our lives, don't they? Don't we always realize that what we fear the most never even really happened? Like my friend says in the meetings I go to, he says, I've been through a lot around here. None of it ever happened. You know, how many times have we gone to do something in our lives where, like even speaking here today or public speaking or any of the other things that cause us great fear, and we get ourselves all worked up, and then the event comes and it was nothing but a thing. You know, we work ourselves up and live in this kind of erroneous world of fabricated thinking in a lot of ways. And that might be uncomfortable to hear for a lot of us. We say, who, me? Everything's just fine. And I understand. So we can be running around attempting to accumulate worldly possessions or attempting to control people for personal gain, which is all rooted in a consciousness which breeds lack and limitation of itself. You know that thing, when I get just what I want, the only thing I want is just a little bit more. If I could just get a little bit more, I'm going to be happy this time, and we get it, and it's just not quite enough. Out there is my solution to my problem, and if I can go find it, I'm going to be okay. Go get your dream. So all this leaves us feeling exhausted, useless, and without any real purpose. It feels like being lost in a world that makes no sense and alone and scared. And I can say that because I've been there. Every day of my life, been there. For years in a row, been there. But it was all a prison of my own fabricated misidentification. I never knew that. So I'm going to talk about a couple of people that have been coming up lately. One is John of the Cross. And Jenny had read me something. She got struck by something he wrote, and it was called Dark Night of the Soul. Has anybody heard of Dark Night of the Soul? Yeah, just about everybody, because most spiritual traditions use that to talk about the thing I just spoke of, this feeling of utter uselessness, of emptiness, of being bereft of the world, that nothing in my life is worthwhile. And that's the dark night of the soul. And one thing Jenny was sharing with me, she said, he wrote this when he was in prison. They locked him up for something that he had done. And while he was in prison, he had to come face to face with the most scary person we'll ever come face to face with, me. We come face to face with ourselves. But something came out of him that was beautiful. And so another person that we know and love is Saint Francis. You know, Saint Francis's early life, he was a party animal, promiscuous. He liked all the stuff of the lower chakras. He loved to, you know, he just loved to debacle through his life, right? And he admitted that, you know. But something happened for him too. And it's like Yogananda says, Paramahansa Yogananda, he says, Saint's just a sinner that never gave up. You know, we all have that within us. Not that we're going to become saints, but that we can strive for it. That we can strive for being the best human being we can be for ourselves. Something changes when we do that. When the me becomes the we. But who I really want to talk about today is Viktor Frankl. And anybody know who Viktor Frankl is? Yeah, a lot of people. Maybe some of you don't. He was a fellow that was in the concentration camps. And I always think about him a lot. I was exposed to his life story through several teachers, Wayne Dyer for one. And Viktor Frankl was locked in the concentration camp. And can you imagine, you know, of all the things that we have in our own lives, all the problems, and now all of a sudden, can you imagine being locked in a cell with other people who they're taking out to their death and watching the trucks come and go, carrying off the bodies of people that you love and your people? And, you know, he was locked in there for days without food. And then when they would bring him food, it would be something like a glass of dirty, diseased water with a rotten fish head. And he said, I had to find the beauty in it. Could you imagine finding the beauty in that? And so he did. Somehow he did. And when he did that, he accessed his higher consciousness, his Christ consciousness. And he started to see things from a different place. He saw that he had a secret place within him, a place that nobody could touch or change, that could not be corrupted by any outside seeming circumstance. And so he went in there and he lived from there. He said, you can do whatever you want to my body, but you'll never take this from me, because it's who I am, fundamentally. That was his basis of identification. And so this other thing happened where all of a sudden he realized, now if I could get in one of those trucks, I could maybe get out of here. And so somehow he slipped out of his cell. Maybe Jesus opened the door for him, I don't know. But he slipped out of his cell and he got into one of these trucks. Now, can you imagine that? Jumping in a truck of dead bodies, knowing that if you're seen by one soldier, you'd be killed instantly. But he did, he got in the truck and they drove him off. And now I wonder what he was thinking. Where are they gonna take me? Until they dumped him in a massive grave with bodies rolling over him. And still he had to remain perfectly still as if he was dead himself. He had to maintain some kind of a presence. And the whole time he knew that if he was going to escape or make it out of here alive, there was only one purpose. And it was to share with the world the secret place. And so he did. You know, I can only imagine him laying there. God, I hope this is over soon. It really smells bad in here. And all of the other horrors that surround you if you were in that situation. And then he heard the roar of the truck's engines fade into the distance, and he walked to freedom, and he gave his life to teaching this stuff. Now that changes me. That makes me realize that my life can be for something so much greater than the little human drama that I live in, the little lack and limitation. If he even was to go into lack and limitation for one moment, he probably would not have made it out of there. So all these people that I spoke about, and many more, we all know stories of people that have overcome great tragedies. They dove deep within themselves, nothing in the external world. In fact, they completely denied the external world of having any power over them. And they went deep within the center of their soul to find their true identity, and to bring forth their jewel and to give it to the world. And that's really what Charles and Myrtle Fillmore did. They found something within themselves, maybe not such a tragic story, but they found something within themselves, and their whole goal in life was to help people live better lives. That was it. They dedicated their lives to it. If you read their devotional statement that they have, all of our money, all of our time, all of our effort, everything goes into unity to help. That's where we come from. That's why I'm here today. I love that. That's something I can dedicate my life to. So here's the good news. Fundamentally changing this identification, the universe now arises in us, as us. We become aware of the connection to every molecule of life. What does it say in the Course in Miracles? Every bird that ever sang sings its song in you. Every flower that ever bloomed blooms in you. The world's not happening to us, it's happening through us. That you are an integral part of everything that is. This is Christ consciousness, as much as I found it to be. That in the depths of my soul is the answer to all my worldly problems. So I call it a benevolent flow of perfection. Even the little bugs start to talk. I'll be walking up my driveway and about to step on something, and it goes, please don't. And I go, oh, sorry. And I step to the other side because everything is friendly. Bees don't sting me. They land on me and go, you smell weird. And then they fly off, you know. It's like life becomes a living synchronicity. Everything's a little synchronicity. Everything that comes upon the path is here for my good, not for my bad. But if I believe it's here for my bad, then so it is. So this brings me to the Christ consciousness. Jesus, our great teacher, I've just come to love Jesus so much, and not in the way that I ever thought I would. The person that I thought Jesus was 10 years ago is not who I know Jesus to be today. And today I know Jesus as a wonderful teacher, somebody who transcended the same things that Viktor Frankl did to realize his Christ consciousness. Before he was Jesus Christ, he was just Jesus. And he had a hard early life too. He wondered those things. Who am I? What am I for? Why am I here? You want me to do what? That's what he said. You want me to do what? I want you to look inside of yourself and be who you truly are, to demonstrate the truth of your being. And finally he said, okay. And then what did he do? He gave it to the world. So in unity, we talk about this thing that there is one mind. There is one mind from which all things come. And haven't we heard that from every spiritual teacher? We say everything is one. And it goes back to that thing. If I say that everything's one, but I believe that I'm separate, then I'm living a lie for myself. So in unity, it talks about, and today the term is called mind idea expression, that everything comes from this one beautiful mind, this benevolent, what do they call it? God the good, omnipotent. And if you don't like God or the notion of God, then just call it universe the good, omnipotent, that we start living in a benevolent universe in our consciousness, in our secret place. And so there's this one mind. And so why are we here then if there's only one mind? Well, we come as an idea. And the idea is the Son of Man. It's the entire human race. And in that idea, it contains all the ideas, all the potentials of the universe. And then that comes into expression. And that expression is the entire world that we think we see. But how many times does people tell us that we're living mostly in an illusion? That the world happens as a result of projection. We project a world out there, live into it, and say, who did this to me? So it's that trinity. There's many trinities in unity. So we have mind, idea, expression. It's the same as Father, Son, Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit is the spirit of life all around us, the divine mother of creation. What a gift that is. And when I start to identify myself with that, all I call that is pure love, unconditional love. It can have no opposite. It cannot have lack if it's whole and complete. But the projection seems at times so sweet, doesn't it? Why would anyone not want to live forever? I can remember Bob Egan sitting up here going, who would want to live in this thing forever? You know, Charles Fillmore thought he could. He really did, and he strived for it. He said this thing that even though nobody's ever demonstrated since Jesus, the ability to do this doesn't mean that people should not strive for it. And he said, I am. That's what I'm doing. And somehow he was able to help people tremendously through it. And Myrtle too, you know. I always think about this where Myrtle Fillmore, she had a sudden change of mind. Women are able to do that. Not going to do it. Men are very scientific. I don't know. I have to investigate. And that's what Charles did. He said, I'm going to investigate. And so he made a time where he could sit and try to commune with God. He said it was very sterile. He'd sit there. But you know what? It worked. He eventually found it. So that's the beautiful thing. We come from the masculine and the feminine coming together to give to the world. So this projection, this illusion that we live in, it does seem so sweet. And it seems so sweet that we make false idols out of it and false gods out of the world. But then something happens and we're compelled to question what has become such a failure in us. So perfection in divine love is very different from perfection of the smaller mind. One is actually attainable. And the ego can have a heyday with that, can it? Perfection, let's strive for it, let's get it. But you already are it. And so what I want to leave you today with is two things, actually about seven things. First of all, you want to hear my little thing about the chakras and the mind idea expression, how we come into being. This is kind of new for me. It's a new realization as a result of really working with the chakra system. So we've got this divine one mind, and it comes into the subtle energy body through the medulla oblongata, which is in the back of the neck. It's the negative pole for the ajna chakra, the third eye chakra. So the spirit enters here, and it's always this constant flow of life that's coming through us. And then it comes down into the fifth chakra, which is the throat chakra. And the throat chakra has to do with ether. You know, even though ether is fairly hypothetical, it's a thing to which all things happen from the thought. And so in the throat chakra is the word, and the word expresses. And then we drop down into the heart chakra, which has to do with air, where we express our spoken word into the air, and we begin to bring the spirit into form. And then we drop down into the Manipur chakra, which is the third chakra, near the solar plexus, the sun plexus, which has to do with fire. You know how the earth in 4.5 billion years ago was spinning a ball of fire, and then it slowly brought the fire to the center to warm the planet enough to give us life? And then it drops down into the sacral chakra. And I love sacral because it sounds like sacred. And this has to do with water, the first medicine, what every planet has to have to support life. And then we drop down into the root chakra, Muladhara, the connection to the earth, and we sort of spill out onto the earth and populate. And so what happens is there's a time where we lived in union with the divine in this way, but then we forgot. And we started to make idols of things. What do they say? They said we're supposed to use things and love people, and we got it backwards. Because we use people and love things. And so Christ consciousness is about coming back through the subtle energy to realize our true source. And so I just want to say that healing and wholeness are one and the same. That the whole basis for this is that we don't pray for healing. We pray from never having been sick in the first place. We pray from wholeness. And it begins with a sincere inquiry and a commitment. We have to make a commitment to ourselves. And that's the only person we ever have to make that commitment to. So can you imagine a world with no fear in your life? Can you imagine a world with no limitation? Can you imagine a world where you're free in your soul? True unity and true belonging, it makes us better human beings. It makes us more able to show up into our lives and to serve the world. You do not have potential. You are potential. You are the potential of divine love expressed. And so let's bring that to the heart. And if you would please indulge me, you can repeat after me these beautiful words. I come from love. I live in love. I return to love. I come from love. I live in love. I return to love. And so it is. Peace. Thank you. Mm-hmm.